The opinions expressed on the following program do not reflect the views and opinions of Audio Journal, its board of directors, staff, or volunteer readers. Thank you for listening to Audio Journal.
This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Audio Journal. Hello, everyone. This is Tracy welcoming you to Everyday Health, an Audio Journal program in which we share information about healthy living. This broadcast is for informational purposes only, and suggestions should always be discussed with your healthcare providers. Audio Journal is a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. In this broadcast, I have a quiz for you. How old are you, really? Our information today comes from the April-May edition of AARP's magazine and an article by writer Jessica Magala. In it, there is a series of seven questions and explanations, and as we often do, we'll conclude with today's tip. Now, birthday cards might say you're in your 40s, 50s, or 60s, but did you know you could be aging faster or slower, completely depending on your lifestyle? Well, we all know you're only as old as you feel. It's a cliche, but it is truer than we know. There's often a disconnect between our chronological age and our biological age. Chronological age, of course, is the number of years we have lived in this world. Biological age is the actual age of our body's systems, our organs, and our cells. It's the rate at which your body has been aging over time, says Zhe He, director of the Institute for Successful Longevity at Florida State University in Tallahassee. Biological age may be a more reliable marker for predicting how long, and particularly how well, you are going to live. And recent data indicates that right around age 60 or so, things can start to go awry. It's when aging seems to be temporarily turbocharged. So if you are in your 60s, you might be experiencing ramification of your body's midlife cellular changes. But at the same time, if you are younger, now is the moment you need to start tuning up for turning 70 to make sure you drive into that decade in the most well-maintained vehicle you can. So what is your true biological age? In this series of DIY tests, questions, and diagnostics, we'll help you understand how well and how fast or slowly you're aging. We'll also outline some changes that you can start making now to turn back the clock. Because as you know, small shifts can make a big difference in how much pep is in your step in the decades ahead. First, how would you describe your usual walking pace? Are you slow, steady and average, or brisk? Well, if you said brisk, you can subtract as many as 14, you heard me, 14 years for women and 20 years for men from your chronological age. You already know that walking is one of the very best ways to get daily exercise, but whether you're just out for a stroll, taking the dog for a walk, or consciously trying to get your steps in, the speed at which you move is critical. People who rated their walking speed as brisk had the longest life expectancy out of nearly 500,000 middle-aged adults and studied compared with slow walkers, no matter what their body mass index might be, according to an analysis in Mayo Clinic Proceedings. Women and men who hoofed it at a brisk pace had a life expectancy of more than 86 and 85 years, respectively. Conversely, those who walked the slowest and also had the lowest BMIs had the lowest life expectancy at roughly 72 years for women, 65 years for men. Walking slowly and having a low BMI is associated with poor fitness and a higher risk of frailty, a combination that does not bode well for longevity. Walking, we know, is a powerful predictor of good future health, says Ryan McGrath, the director of Healthy Aging North Dakota and an associate professor in the Department of Health, Nutrition and Exercise Sciences at North Dakota State University in Fargo. You've heard it here before, but staying mobile is important for preserving functional health, he says. More recent research has found that having a faster walking pace is linked to longer leukocyte telomeres, and these are very important. They are the protective end caps of chromosomes in our white blood cells, which are commonly used as a marker of biological age. A brisk pace was even more impactful on telomere health than total physical activity. The takeaway? Make time for higher intensity activities, research suggests. 10 minutes a day of brisk walking can do it. Only 10 minutes. Next, how many grams of added sugar from packaged foods do you eat in a day? Let's hope it's less than 48 grams. And if it's 48 or more, beware. If you answered less, you can subtract about 2.5 months from your chronological age. Now, it's easy to identify added sugar. You know that manufacturers are required to include added sugar grams on all nutritional facts food labels. Excess sugar that's added is linked, we know, to a variety of problems like heart disease, type 2 diabetes, and heart disease. But a diet of foods with too much added sugar also damages your DNA. It causes an acceleration in cellular aging. This is from a study published in the 2024 Journal of American Medical Association Network Open. Now, I'm not talking about the naturally occurring sugar in foods like fruit or dairy products. Added sugar refers to any form, including cane sugar, molasses, corn syrup, or any additives ending in OSE, such as sucrose, dextrose, or fructose, that has been added during food processing. These types of sugar are in foods you know, like candy, soda, desserts, sweetened cereals, yogurts, and non-dairy milks and condiments, even ketchup and barbecue sauce. The CDC recommends limiting sugar intake to no more than 48 grams, which is 12 teaspoons per day. Next, how much fiber do you eat each day? If it's 13 grams or less, that's worrisome. If it's 14 to 21 grams, that is more normal, and more than 21 grams is the goal. If you answered more than 21 grams, subtract 4 years from your chronological age. Now, most adults only get around 13 grams per day, and that's far lower than the federal recommendation for adults age 51 and plus. They should get at least 22 grams for women and 28 grams for men each day. These are good numbers to aim for, and research shows you might even be able to add years to your life by even modestly increasing your fiber intake. In one study, people who consumed 10 grams of fiber for every 1,000 calories or 20 grams for 2,000 calories a day had cells that were 4 years younger than their birthday cake age, and that's at any age. Fiber, the digestive and heart-friendly nutrient found in fruits, veggies, whole grains, nuts, and seeds, actually reverses the age of your cells, provided you're getting the amount your body needs. And it may quash harmful inflammation and reduce oxidative stress to keep those telomeres long. Plus, it slows digestion and helps control blood sugar, reducing your risk of diabetes. Now, you can hit that 22 grams a day mark by eating a half a cup of beans, a couple of slices of really good whole wheat bread, an apple, and half a cup of cooked broccoli. Want a few more suggestions? Here are some of the best sources of fiber. Lima beans, 1 cup is 13.2 grams. An artichoke, cooked, 1 cup is 9.6, as are a half a cup of navy beans and a half a cup of small white beans. Even yellow beans for a half a cup is 9.2 grams. Green peas, 1 cup is 8.8 grams. Raspberries is 8 grams for 1 cup. Lentils, a half a cup, or pinto beans, a half a cup, or almost 8 grams. Blackberries is 7.6 of 1 cup. And black beans, 7.5 grams. So good news there. Next, here's sort of the mental health portion, which we know is part of overall health. Rate the 4 questions below and kind of keep track of the numbers. You'll be able to do it. There are only 4 questions. In the past month, How often have you felt that you were unable to control the important things in your life? You get no points if you say never. Almost never is just 1 point. Sometimes 2 points, fairly often 3 points, and very often is 4 points. In the past month, how often have you felt confident about your ability to handle your personal problems? If you never feel that way, give yourself 4 points. If you almost never feel that way, 3 points. Sometimes 2 points, fairly often 1 point, or very often 0 points. In the past month, how often have you felt that things were going your way? In the past month, and here are the numbers. If you have felt that things were going your way, if you said never, that's 4 points. Almost never is 3 points. Sometimes 2 points, fairly often 1 point, and very often 0 points. In the past month, how often have you felt difficulties were piling up so high that you could not overcome anything? Never, 0 points. Almost never, 1 point. Sometimes, 2 points. Fairly often, 3 points. Or very often, 4 points. Now, if you had a total of 10 or more, this indicates high level of perceived stress. Add a few months to your age. People who go through difficult and challenging things, high stress, trauma, PTSD, are more likely to have health issues, says Kyle Bourassa, a senior research fellow in the psychology department at Georgetown University in Washington, D.C. Now, that much may be obvious, but he also wanted to look at whether these factors independently speed up biological aging, and that is exactly what he found. Having a high level of perceived stress sped up aging more than 2 months every year, a magnitude similar to that of smoking, Bourassa's 2023 research found. Well, why is that? In part, because we often react to stress with unhealthy behaviors like drinking alcohol, having a poor diet, losing sleep, and skipping social events. Stress also promotes inflammation that causes cells to age much faster. Now, here's an interesting thought. Although his study looked at adults 32 to 45 years old, Bourassa notes, there is no reason to expect the link between stress and aging to be different among older adults. But there is more going on. The key is perceived stress, meaning what we think about stress and how we face it matters, since that affects our age. The hope is that directly lowering perceived stress may have slowing effects on aging. Now, do you have prediabetes or diabetes? If you answered yes to prediabetes or you don't know, you have to add 2 2/3 years to your chronological age. If you answered yes for type 2 diabetes, add 12 years to your chronological age. And if you answered yes to type 1, you need to add 16.3 years to your chronological age. People who have diabetes have a shorter life expectancy than those who do not. Chronic conditions like diabetes, as well as hypertension and obesity, which are frequently associated with it, can cause physiologic changes that speed up the aging process, says Dr. Zhu He. Type 2 makes it hard for the body, as you know, to regulate blood sugar, which in turn compromises cellular repair and damages blood vessels. In type 1, the pancreas has difficulty producing insulin. Both conditions can cause the protective telomeres in our DNA to shorten, while the function of the cell's mitochondria is impaired, reducing the body's available energy. But there is a caveat. This is good news. Research indicates that added aging caused by diabetes can be stymied if both your blood sugar and your blood pressure are well controlled. The key to slowing the aging process is to be vigilant and consistent in your diabetes management. And if you have prediabetes, you can prevent or delay type 2 and turn back the clock on your cells. Changing your diet, managing your stress, losing a small amount of weight and staying physically active can slash your risk of type 2 diabetes in half. Keep in mind that although about 1 in 3 American adults have prediabetes, more than 80% of them do not know it, according to the CDC, which is why you should take the I don't know as a warning sign. Talk to your primary care provider about getting your A1C tested to make sure your blood sugar is in a healthy range. Next, do you expect more good things to happen to you than bad? Well, if you said yes, you can subtract 4 1/3 years from your chronological age. A bright outlook on life can make your day and the days of everyone around you more pleasant. But new research suggests that a generally optimistic attitude can do more than lift your spirits. Indeed, how you view the quality of your life can predict how much of it you'll be around to enjoy. Women who are 50 to 79 years old who scored higher on a test measuring their levels of optimism were much more likely to have a longer lifespan and higher odds of living to age 90 plus, according to a Harvard-led study published in the journal JAMA Psychiatry. These associations were independent of depression status, suggesting that optimism affects more than just your mood. This speaks to the benefits of maintaining a positive outlook on life, says Aladdin H. Shadyab, an associate professor at the Herbert Wertheim School of Public Health and Human Longevity Science and the Department of Medicine at the University of California in San Diego. It looks like optimism influences more than just how you see things. It's an important driver of physical functioning, affecting things like strength and balance. We found that higher optimism is associated with a stronger grip, strength, and the ability to complete chair stands, two markers used as predictor of future health. And I'll discuss chair stands in a moment. The glass half full approach is related to slower physical decline with age and may help people stick to habits like avoiding smoking, eating a healthy diet, and maintaining robust social connections, Dr. Shadyab suggests. His conclusion, optimism may be a modifiable risk factor that we can use to achieve healthy aging. Do you drink a couple of cups of coffee every day? Well, if you answered yes, you can subtract 2 years from your chronological age, and that's good news. Coffee is packed with bioactive compounds like caffeine and polyphenols, and we know that's a category of plant compounds that provide antioxidant and anti-inflammatory properties to boost cognition, reduce insulin resistance, and lower the risk of chronic disease. Middle-aged adults who report drinking 1 to 2 cups of coffee per day add a couple of years onto their life expectancy compared with non-drinkers, some 2025 research says. Most of that is due to a reduction in death from cardiovascular disease. Do you drink decaf? Well, there are benefits there as well, but you might need to eat to drink a little bit more. Those who imbibed more than 3 cups of decaf every day showed a lifespan gain of 3 3/4 years. Now, many studies show that coffee consumption lowers the risk of mortality, but those studies were largely performed in adults that were aged 40 to 60, says UC San Diego's Dr. Shadyab. In his 2020 research, however, those benefits disappeared for older adults. The study, which looked at women with an average age of 72, found that coffee consumption was not associated with longevity, he says. It wasn't harmful, so please keep enjoying coffee if you like it. But a regular Java habit didn't help folks reach their 90-plus threshold either, just so you know. And lastly, answer these 4 questions and add up the corresponding numbers as you hear them. Are you male? If you are, you need to add 5 1/3 years to your chronological age. If you're female, no change. Have you ever smoked? If you are a current smoker, you need to add 2/3 of a year. If you're a former smoker, the same. And if you've never smoked, you do not add anything at all. If you consume alcohol, if you're a current drinker, add 1/2 a year. If you're a former drinker, you can subtract half a year. And if you've never been a drinker, no change at all. What is your body mass index category? Now, if you're underweight, you need to add about half a year. If you're a healthy weight or a healthy BMI, there's no change. If you're overweight, you add a quarter of a year. And if you're obese, you add a third of a year. Now, these four characteristics were identified in research in the journal Science, iScience rather, as factors related to aging and mortality risk. Each five-year increase was associated with a 46% higher risk of mortality for people in their 60s. We know smoking is known to shorten telomeres, and alcohol consumption has been shown to speed up brain aging. Men tend to age faster than women due to physiological differences and a greater tendency to adopt the health vices just mentioned. And while obesity increases inflammation, being underweight creates its own problems. Another study suggests that compared with having a normal weight, adults age 70 and over who are underweight have a 3.5 higher risk of dying in the next 5 years. With age, excess weight may actually be protective for your health. And as for being male, you can take it as a wake-up call to get your house in order. And that's true for females as well. Look at your exercise, your diet, monitor your cholesterol and your blood pressure, and get preventative screenings. These are important markers, and just taking that 10-minute brisk walk can make a big difference. And now for today's tip. Earlier, I had mentioned the stand-up sit-down test, and here it is. Use a slightly padded chair of standard height with no armrests. Start seated with your feet flat on the floor, crossing your arms across your chest. Stand up completely and then sit back down, advises Richard W. Bohannon, a fellow of the American Physical Therapy Association. Time how long it takes for you to do 5 repetitions as fast and safely as you are able. The results will give us some idea of the strength of your lower limbs, he says. Women who can do 5 reps in 7 seconds or less, and men who can do the same in 6 seconds or less, are more fit than 95% of all 60-somethings. Struggling with this test? Well, strength training may help you improve muscle control and balance and reduce your risk of falls. And here's another wonderful test that you can do to kind of assess how you are. Can you scratch your own back? To take the test, stand with your feet shoulder width apart, extend one arm over your shoulder and down toward your middle back. Place the other hand on your back, reaching up toward the middle of it. Try to touch the fingers on your opposite hand. If they won't touch, ask a partner to use a ruler to measure the distance between your fingers. Practice the test 2 times and compare your best test score with the results that are here. Below average is more than a 3.5-inch gap for women. Average is less than a 3.5-inch gap to 1.5 inches. And above average is an overlap of more than 1.5 inches. For men, below average is more than a 7.5-inch gap. Average is 7.5 to 1-inch gap. And above average is less than a 1-inch gap. Now, this test is part of measuring fitness among older adults. Since upper body flexibility is needed for independence and age, think getting dressed and reaching for an object, shoulder flexibility starts to decline around age 55, with a prominent drop-off beginning around age 70. Poor flexibility is associated with a higher risk of mortality from any cause, so do an upper body stretch at least 2 times a week, focusing on neck, chest, shoulders, and back. And that concludes our program for today. Thank you for joining us. Our broadcast, as you know, is for informational purposes only, and suggestions should always be discussed with your healthcare providers. Our program is a production of Audio Journal, and we are a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. If you'd like a hard copy of our program schedule in large print or braille, please call us at 508-797-1117. Archived editions of our program are available on our website, audiojournal.org, or go to the Audio Journal app on your iPhone, iPad, or Android device. I'm Tracy. Thank you for listening, and know we wish you health every day.
And now, medical myths and facts with Dr. Richard Curtis.
One of the most fascinating discoveries about breast milk is that it contains special sugars that babies cannot digest. For years, scientists puzzled over this. Why would breast milk contain nutrients that the infant itself couldn't use? The answer turns out to be quite remarkable. Those sugars are not meant for the baby at all. They are designed to feed specific bacteria living in the baby's intestine. In other words, breast milk is not only nourishing the infant, it is also nourishing the infant's microbiome, the vast community of microbes that live inside us. And this leads to an important realization. From the very beginning of life, human biology isn't just about feeding a baby. It's about building a microbial community that will live with that child for decades. Over the past 15 years, scientists have learned that every human being carries trillions, I repeat, trillions of microorganisms, bacteria, viruses, and fungi, especially in the digestive tract. Together, these organisms form the microbiome, and they play important roles in digestion, vitamin production, and the regulation of our immune system. What is especially interesting is that this microbial ecosystem begins forming right at birth. At birth, a baby's intestine contains very few microbes, but colonization begins almost immediately. During delivery, babies acquire microbes from their mother and from their surroundings. Over the next hours and days, these organisms begin establishing themselves in the infant gut. Feeding then becomes one of the strongest influences on which microbes thrive. As we mentioned, breast milk contains special compounds that selectively nourish beneficial bacteria, particularly a group called bifidobacteria. These bacteria help protect the lining of the intestine and produce metabolic compounds that influence inflammation and immune function. During the first year of life, the microbiome changes rapidly. When solid foods are introduced, microbial diversity increases dramatically. By about 2 to 3 years of age, a child's microbiome begins to resemble that of an adult. Now, why does this matter? Well, one major reason is the immune system. About 70% of the body's immune cells reside in the gut. Early exposure to microbes helps train the immune system, teaching it which substances are harmless and which are true threats. This early training may influence the risk of allergies, asthma, and certain autoimmune diseases later in life. One of the most interesting observations surrounding this idea comes from studies of children raised on farms. Researchers have repeatedly found that children who grow up around farm animals and soil have much lower rates of allergies and asthma. The leading explanation is that these children encounter a wider range of microbes early in life, which helps the immune system learn not to overreact to harmless things like pollen or food proteins. Scientists are also exploring other possible roles of the microbiome. Gut microbes help process food, produce vitamins, and generate chemical signals that affect metabolism and inflammation. Some researchers are even investigating links between the microbiome and aspects of brain development. What we now understand is that the first few years of life represent a critical window during which the microbiome and the immune system develop together. And it reminds us of something profound about human biology. We often think of ourselves as single organisms, but biologically, we are really ecosystems, living in partnership with trillions of microbes that begin shaping our health from the very first days of life.